This episode of This Is Us Too is brought to you by Minute with Mary. You guys have heard about MinuteWithMary.com now for quite some time, and I truly appreciate it for those of you who have checked it out. But if you haven't checked it out yet and you want to try something, I do have a love it guarantee. I want to make sure you love your products. So think about it. Check me on out. Just search the hashtag MinuteWithMary and send me a message on Facebook. I swear I'm not weird. Well, I am, but you at least know like how weird I am because you listen to my voice.
You're like nerd weird.
Yeah. Hashtag Minute with Mary.
We come from a long line of Pearson men who've got a lot of mixed up stuff inside of us.
I should just take that movie in Chicago. Just take another movie, you know, stay busy. Focus on being clean, that's the important thing. And it's much easier on set anyway. I mean, the director tells me to do something and I do it. He says, smile, and I smile. He says, laugh, and I laugh. He says, cry, and I cry. And then he yells, cut. And then it's just me again. I think that's the problem.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to This Is Us Too. It's a podcast dedicated to This Is Us on NBC, so sit back, relax, and let's all have a good cry. Hello, everybody, and welcome. My name is Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and I can't believe that they did a second part of The Pool. Isn't that so cool? I just think it's awesome. Like, it's not one of those things that you find quite often. Like, you know, in a lot of shows, you'll have, you know, an episode, you've even seen it in This Is Us, where like Songbird Road, you know, it's Songbird Road Part 1, and then the next episode is Songbird Road Part 2, and then you know, and so on and so forth. But the first Pool episode was 3 seasons ago. I mean, it was episode 104. Yeah. And here we are in 402, and it's, you know, it's not a sequel necessarily, but it's a continuation of that particular story, which is really cool. It's one of those interesting things that people kind of are bringing back to the whole This Is Us lore. And I actually think they did a lot of really cool things with this episode, which we can get into. But thank you, everybody, for being so patient with this episode.
Yes, it is a couple of days delayed. If those of you who are subscribers on your podcast app of choice, we've just been a little busy.
A little busy is not the word. We've been a lot busy.
Yeah.
Mary's had a lot of media engagements. She's been doing a lot of different things. And we're going to New York Comic Con this weekend, so we wouldn't be able to do the episode then. So,
not going to lie, like listening to that quote with Kevin in the beginning, I'm like, that is what it's like, guys. I was just on television even this morning, and it's like, you're on, and then they're off, and you're like, okay, I go back to being my weird nerd self.
Wait, you were on television this morning big time?
Yeah.
You've been...
I was.
I know, I'm saying. You're just big time over here.
Not that big time.
Just, you know, just a local celebrity. It's fine.
Well, whatevs. You know, I'm just now deleting and blocking another person. You look sexy today. Why, thank you. Black.
What was the message?
You look sexy.
The message that Mary got the other day after she was on TV was, what was it? Was wanna sex or something like that?
Yeah, that was another one I got.
Wanna sex.
Let me tell you guys. Being Rhode Island famous has its drawbacks. Wanna sex? No.
It was just some dude. Like, was it on Instagram?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wanna sex?
Wanna sex?
Nope. No, I do not. Excuse me while I go back to reading Outlander.
with no bra and my chocolate peanut butter ice cream.
Yeah, and like my weird moisturizing foot socks because, like, trust, I should have sent him a selfie of what I really look like at night. Buddy, my
I just
feet look
snorted
like
on the podcast.
My feet look like Shreks because I'm all of a sudden, guys, I bought this random thing on Amazon. Sorry, it's my story time and I didn't even mean to.
Technically, it's my story.
I know. We're just diverting.
Okay, sorry.
I put on these like moisturizing socks that I found on Amazon because my feet have been a little busted after wearing flip flops and going to the beach all summer. They're dehydrated.
Busted
they're like,
ain't the word.
They're like, feed me hydration, please. I go to the pedicure lady, the nail salon. She's like, where's the chainsaw? I can't even scrape the amount of callus off of this foot. What have you been doing? Hiking Mount Everest barefoot. What is going on? So I bought these like crazy looking socks. They supposedly hydrate your feet. They're weird. They've got the toes, all sorts of things. Yeah, so I'm a hot mess express at night, and I should have sent that guy a selfie.
Oh man, your Gryffindor sweatpants.
Wanna sex?
Well, now that you've told your story, it's actually time for my story, which is actually quite personal. You know, I love my children. I love my children more than anything, and Mary and I are always having discussions about our kids and our lives with them, and I've discovered that I am so quick to just want them to grow up. I'm so quick to want them to get the hell out of my bed in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so quick to just want to have my own life back, of like just doing things with my wife and letting my kids just play Legos in their rooms and don't bother me. You know, like I'm so quick to want those things to have my own independence back. In watching how everything transpired in this episode, it really reminded me of Mary a lot because she's always like, this is only for so long.
Yep.
Just relax. I know.
The days are long, but the years are short. I'm a freaking Hallmark card. Oh, I won a free thing of hash browns on my Dunkin' Donuts cup. Continue.
Yay.
See? Live in the moment, guys. Live in the moment.
So she's always saying, like, just stop. Just stop and enjoy the fact that you have children. Enjoy the fact that your kids are 6 and 4, which, by the way, I can't believe they're 6 and 4. Enjoy the fact that even though, you know, you're still not sleeping 100% at night, or they're coming into the bed at night in the middle of the night, and we're doing, you know, one kid in between us, another kid at the foot of the bed, and my cat sleeping on my hip, which is all true. By the way, we had every single member of our family in our bed at one point,
yeah,
like last week. And I was like, what are we doing? Like, get out of here. And seeing the whole process with Jack and Rebecca, and that final montage, you know, I haven't teared up in This Is Us for a while, but man,
this week
I was tearing up. So I'm always so quick to want my kids to grow up, and it reminded me of Mary saying, "Just relax, just enjoy the fact that they're 6 and 4."
So emotional.
Well, it's true.
I know, but this is us. This is why we use all the Charmin, right?
Well, you know what it is? I was in my office watching the back half of the episode because Mary and I have been so busy that we actually didn't even get a chance to watch the full episode together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in my office. I'm watching it on Hulu. And I'm...
Rich, we need to cancel that account. We only got it for The Handmaid's Tale, and now it's off.
I know, it's true. We got to cancel that. I'm watching it in my office. I'm trying to, like, you know when you're trying to not cry, but, like, you can't help it, and you feel it in your throat?
Happened to me in Bali when I was watching P.S. I Love You.
Oh, goodness gracious, the amount of tears that I shed watching P.S. I Love You. Actually, while you were in Bali.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was not great. That was, you know what that was? What?
Not great, Bob.
Nope.
Not great. And I was just trying desperately as I was watching This Is Us in my little office to not let anybody know that I was crying, and tears were pouring down my cheeks. And you know how it hurts sometimes when you're trying to hold it back? Yeah, that was me.
I mean, I don't hold. I don't hold back.
You live in the moment, Mary. All right. Well, this episode was entitled The Pool Part 2, and it was directed by Chris Koch, who is a longtime director for This Is Us. He's directed episodes such as Three Sentences, which is one of my favorites. The Most Disappointed Man, also one of my favorites. The Fifth Wheel, also one of my favorites.
Look at that.
A Philadelphia Story, hashtag not one of my favorites. Toby, Songbird, Road, Part 1 and 2.
Not one of my favorites.
And then the writers were Isaac Aptaker and Elizabeth Berger, who are the co-showrunners of This Is Us. They have written many episodes of This Is Us, including Jack Pearson's Son, Favorite, Moonshadow, Deja Vu, The Car, The Wedding, $9, Her, and obviously this episode, the Pool Part 2. Oh, and they also wrote Pilgrim Rick, which was another one.
Oh, so good.
So, Mary, what do you got for your Lemonade rating?
A 4.9.
I knew we would be back to the five area.
Okay, good.
But usually you're passing fives around like Oprah. Why are we F19?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, fair enough.
There was just a little bit where I was like, I've had better.
Okay.
And I'm trying to be a little bit more conservative with my fives this year. I mean, let's all know. It's going to go out the window next week.
I know.
But yeah, I don't know, because it had all the things that I need. And I think it's just me. I think I'm just trying to hold the bar. So it's just a 4.9, which means it's a 5. How about you?
I'm at a 4.6.
Which basically means you're 5.
Yeah, it's around there. I'm at a 4.6. This is not a horse yet. I'm not full horse.
Okay.
This is still a pony. But I think it's close to a horse. We're right on that level. And the reason why I think I liked it was, like I said earlier, this is not necessarily a sequel to episode 104. But it was more like an older cousin, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know that older cousin that you hang out with, and they're just like cooler than you.
No,
and
because my family,
they didn't talk to you.
No, they were like, "You're poor. You don't have a yacht. We're not talking with you." And I was like, "But I have a great imagination."
You like guys
I
like
was told that's priceless.
So even though Mary doesn't know what having an older cousin is like,
my older cousin asked me to play harp at his wedding. He didn't even invite me. He texted me and was like, "Hey, are you free?" And I was like, "Oh my god, I'm actually being invited to my cousin Cabot, because that's his name, Cabot's wedding." And he wanted me to play the harp. I wasn't actually a guest. So I said, "No, thank you, Cabot."
Oh man, Cabot.
Continue. So I don't
get
know what
here
this
with
is
that
like.
Name, Cabot. Get
I don't know what
here.
It's like to have nice cousins, Blake.
That is such a waspy name. Of course, your cousin would be named
my
Cabot.
My maiden name is Earl. My name is Mary Catherine Earl. Welcome
so,
to my life.
So, since I know what it's like to have an older cousin, I always
be nice.
It was just like an older, evolved version of the pool itself. And I really liked that. I think it was cool. The only problem was the first half of the episode for me felt like more of the same. It just felt like stuff.
That's why I didn't like this family meeting. I didn't like this broad making. Is that what you're talking about? Like
what do you
mean? Family meeting, like getting down and. I mean, I guess it was kind of important, so you could have your lows and your highs. What do you mean the stuff? Like what part was stuff?
Well, like I said, it felt like a second version of the pool. Like the kids were dealing with the same kind of things, and then we had the family meeting. I just felt like we've tread this water before. We've been here before, and what are we doing? It wasn't until the back half of the episode where I was like, oh, okay.
This is bad.
I see what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like this big revelatory moment for me, but it was like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
I see what we're doing here. But it was an evolution and showing how much the Pearsons have grown. I think it really played well. And I think the strongest point in this episode was Kevin.
Totally agree.
Kevin's story.
This is a Kevin.
This,
Kevin episode.
I mean, I you could argue that it was, a Kate episode. You could make the argument that it was, And you could even make the argument that it was like it was.
It was a big
kind
three,
of equally shared by the big three. But I think the real focus, the person who actually made real change, significant changes, is Kevin.
Agreed.
That's my opinion. But what do you got for your GBG?
Oh my goodness. Okay. So my good is I know who the hell these people are. This is us.
I know
back.
You.
I know you.
It's not who are they anymore.
No longer hashtag who are they. Hashtag this is us. Okay, I'm happy to be with everybody. And I got some Jack Pearson. I'm not going to lie. As we're going into this season, I'm really nervous about how little Jack Pearson we're going to have, just because obviously the adult big three are going to be having a lot of their lives fleshed out a bit more. Obviously, we have all these hashtag who are they
sure.
people showing up. So I know that my time with Jack is small and limited, and I am just soaking up every single moment I can, especially when he has his badass dad moments. Sorry right. if I just said a swear. My bad.
Turn your ears off, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes,
turn them
Larry.
Off.
My bad?
Yep.
I don't know.
Is it just more of the same? Like that? Is that what it was for you?
It took a little while. Mm-hmm. I think you were right. I don't know what it was. It just took a little while to get there. And I think that that's just because it's just the second episode of this new season. And I haven't been with these people for a little while.
Sure.
But it was just, you know what this is like? This is like This Is Us just took 1,000 piece puzzle, shook it all up in the box and dumped it out. And last week I was like flipping the pieces upside down because I was like, oh, is this cardboard? I need to flip it up to see the picture. Who sure. are these people? What is this picture? How are they related? And now I'm like just starting to find the corner pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taken me a little while before I actually see the puzzle that's coming together. And I'm enjoying the process. Right now, it's a little messy for me.
Sure. And I think that speaks to the debate that we could all suffer from, or we can at least talk about, which was having the premiere episode the way that it was with all the new people the right choice? I think there's yeah. a good old-fashioned hottie debate.
Well, to dump
there.
So many new people at once to have us be with these strangers was a very bold choice, I agree, because they could have sprinkled them in little by little,
sure.
like a new person each episode. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. I don't think it was a bad choice, but I'm interested to see how it plays out. But that's just how I feel.
Do you think that it affected the second episode because of the choice that they made in the first episode?
No.
Like they tried to put too much into the second?
No.
Okay.
I mean, the only person I cared about is Jack, little baby Jack, in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Because when Kate's all like, we're going to let him be limitless. I'm like, yes, you will. You have no idea.
All right, what's your great? What's your
great? And my great is that we wanted to cry. And I'm like, thank you, this is us.
I am so fracking shocked that your great is not what I thought it was going to be. I can't believe it. I'm stunned. I thought your great was going to be Miguel singing the 12 Days of Christmas. Seriously, dude. Like,
y'all been sleeping on my boy Miguel.
Oh my God.
I thought.
So right.
I could have sworn.
I take it back.
When I heard that, I said, I was like, Mary is going to legitimately have a nerdgasm. She's going to have a Miguel-gasm.
Seriously, I feel like the writers may occasionally listen to This Is Us and they're like, Mary loves Christmas and she loves Miguel. like I can't wait for Thanksgiving, guys. You know.
Oh, the Pilgrim Rick hat is coming out.
No, the inflatables go up the weekend of Thanksgiving in Miguel's house. You know that he and I are kindred spirits.
We already have inflatables in front of our house right now as it is.
You're welcome.
Go to Mary and Blake Facebook to check out which inflatable it is, because I took a picture next to it and I may or may not have been unhappy.
Okay, so that's my shared great.
Okay. My good was Kevin's story in this episode. He continues, at least for me, to be the most interesting character on this show. And This Is Us may love to bang us over the head with its themes and its plot and what it wants to do and what it wants to say about these characters. But I really feel like this episode was quite effective here in seeing Kevin struggle with who he is and what makes him his own person. Really, that really made this episode shine for me. And when Kevin worries about whether or not he's a good person, Jack, he talks to Kevin about just that hard stuff. Like, you don't like, I wish my mom or my dad had said to me, you know, we got mixed up stuff mm-hmm. with us and we suffer from this mm-hmm. and it's okay. It's okay to feel like you're a bad person, even though you're not. Mm-hmm. And we suffer from that. And he can talk directly to the fact that he's a tortured Pearson man. And just Kevin makes that change. He makes the change for himself later on and by going to see Uncle Nicky and everything. I thought that was just tremendous stuff. The bad for me was Toby. Toby, what the hell, bro?
What do you mean?
He's going out, skipping out on Kate, going to work out at the gym, which is great, by the way. Wish I could do that. But he's not telling her. And you know that's going to cause an issue. You know there's going to be some problems from that.
Well,
he's out there doing some CrossFit, tossing some ropes around left and right.
We're going to discuss why he's exercising. I think you're being a little hater.
Well, no, I don't mind the fact that he's exercising. I think that's great. But why are you not telling Kate, man?
I got some ideas.
Okay, we got to Kate. And the great was Julia Grove.
Who's that?
I knew that nobody knows who Julia Grove is, and I was hoping that the question would come up.
Okay.
Julia Grove is the editor of this episode. The editing for this episode was spectacular.
Spectacular.
It was spectacular. Not only did it go from each story, I think it flowed well. But This Is Us does montages very well. And one of the things that struck me in this episode was the fact that now they are referencing their own story.
Yeah.
Like they've done that before, but not in this fashion, not to this extent. Referencing the events of the first pool episode to not only heighten but enlighten the events of the second pool episode. And we've gone through all of this stuff with the Pearson family, and now you can see how far they've come, mm-hmm. at least with the big three in this age. And then the appearance of the toddler big three, like that's pretty cool too. So
yes.
When you start putting all that together and you see Jack and he's sitting next to, you know, Rebecca, and it's current time and within that story, and then all of a sudden you see the green cooler and he pulls it and it's young Kevin, and it brings him down, and the whole thing, the editing was just,
and then they like the toddler one, it's like I can't.
It was awesome. So she's been on a bunch of different episodes of Julia Grove. She's edited a bunch of different episodes for This Is Us. She's also worked on Scandal and Grey's Anatomy, and also that show How to Get Away with Murder. So that's that. So I was big on the editing. So what do you think?
Let's address this issue that you got with some working out Toby.
Okay, what do you got?
Well, what do you got? You're the one that with the beef.
Well, my beef is that, bro, you can't not talk to Katie girl. You gotta tell her. Why do you think he's not telling her?
Okay, I think he's not telling her because he feels like Katie's got enough on her plate. She's acting crazy, okay? Not acting crazy. She's a very worried mom. The entire family's concerned about her. She mm-hmm. sadly is overeating to be dealing with, you know, her emotions right
sure,
now.
Sure.
And I feel like obviously exercise is Toby's way of dealing with his emotions right now. You could see he's getting it out. He's playing with those ropes. He's
Absolutely.
Doing what he needs to do. He's getting out his frustrations, his worries, his fears through exercise. And in the process, it's making him healthier. And I know for myself that when my husband is on a whole big workout kick, eating healthy, doing all the things, and I'm not there, God, does it make me mad?
Why does it make you mad?
Because I'm like, I'm just tubby and squishy and tired.
Yeah, you're not squishy. You ain't tubby. You're beautiful. You're my girl.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, anyway, I think that he'd be concerned that Kate would feel like lesser than. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like the thing that they first met about
okay,
and they bonded
you.
About,
yep,
they met at like an Overeaters Anonymous thing.
Got it. Yep.
And I know myself, previous to dating Blake, I dated some like very svelte people, you know, and I was always like, this does not work. Like, I just don't feel comfortable. And then when Blake did, he lost an immense amount of weight, like right after I had our baby, mm-hmm. our first son. And here I was, squishy McSquish. And here's my like skinny husband. And I'm like, I'm the big spoon right now. And I do not feel comfortable with this. So I feel like maybe Toby's doing this because it's his way of getting his frustrations out. You know, whether or not he wants to say, like, because Kate might say, why are you exercising? He could say, because I want to be healthy. But also he could talk about, like, because Kate's not necessarily asking him about his feelings.
Sure.
You know, so both of them need some therapy time or some gym time. And that's what Toby has chosen. So I agree. He shouldn't be lying in the sense that he's saying he's going grocery shopping. But on the flip side. We don't know what little Jack's like at night. And what if Toby's like, I can't stay up. Listen to that baby cry. So I'm just going to go have some me time. And like, remember, Blake, when you used to come home and you used to just sit in the car?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. And I remember. Here's a good story for you. Our son had really bad colic. Like, colic for the ages. Colic that you read about in graphic novels. Like, let's put it that way. And
what?
It's a euphemism. It's a joke.
Okay.
I remember we used to live in our old apartment, and the way that it was situated, I'd drive my car into the driveway, and our kitchen was like right in front of the driveway.
Yeah.
And I'd sit in the car, I'd get there, and I could hear our son just crying, just miserable, just miserable. And I knew Mary
not
was
even
in there.
Like a cute baby cry.
Yeah,
like,
no, like it's in Guantanamo kind of cry. And I remember knowing that Mary was in there and feeling bad, but I also remember thinking, okay, I have my Dodge Charger. It's a V8 RT, and all I need is a full tank of gas, yep, and a credit card, and go west, young man. Just go west. I'd keep driving all the way until I got to California, and then I'd get on a boat. And then I'd just keep going until I ended up back on the East Coast eventually. That's what I used to think. I just put this bad boy in reverse and then hit the gas. And so it's apropos, I feel like, that Toby says to Kate, like, how are you doing with all this? Like, you're just so strong. I remember saying to Mary when we had our son, being like, how did you just go from being Mary to just being mom like that? How are you doing? I don't get it. I struggled with it. I felt like I was just useless. And you were so strong. You knew the questions, you knew the things that you needed to know. You asked them, you talked to the people, you read the books. And that's not that I didn't read books, but like, you did it. You read all of them and you talked to the doctors about colic and like going and making sure that he wasn't on the spectrum and mm-hmm. doing the whole thing. And here I am being like, oh, if these people, what the hell they know about my kid? It was just overwhelming. So when Toby was saying that to Kate, it really resonated with me. I was like, wow, man, I actually really get that feeling. I really feel like you feel less than when it comes to being a dad as opposed to being a mom.
And that's why I get that he shouldn't be fibbing, because obviously he's fit. Like, it's not like this is his first time he said he's going to go grocery shopping. And truth be told, Toby must grocery shop at some point during the day, because he must come home with groceries.
Sure.
Or else Kate would know he was fibbing. So I don't know.
Wouldn't she be like, hey, Toby, when you grow, like, are you going to like the supermarket like a couple of towns over, because you're gone for like 2 hours?
Maybe he's just doing like a 20-minute, you know, hardcore sesh.
Yeah, but you got to like take a shower, you got to change, you got to like.
Maybe he just comes home. I don't know. I don't think
he did some really aggressive grocery shopping.
And also, like, maybe Kate goes to sleep.
That's true. Also true.
I'm not on the full like hating on it. I think that it's great that he is able to get it out that way. I do think that the fibbing is going to obviously be an issue.
Yep.
But I do think that there's like, it's, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of like when I got engaged,
mm-hmm.
and I had to tell my best friend who wished she had been engaged like for the past year.
Yeah, that
didn't go over so well.
That was not great.
You know, or like when I got pregnant and then I knew I had friends who like were struggling with fertility and I had to eventually tell them like, I'm pregnant. It's tough. And I know that shouldn't be tough, but it is tough. At least it's tough for me. So that's why I saw Toby and I was like, I kind of get you. I'm not approving the lying, but I kind of get you.
So what did you think about the show?
That was the most minute, small piece of this entire episode, and we just spent all this time talking about it.
I know, it's true. That's a good point. Well, I mean, it's leading somewhere. Like, it's going to lead to somewhere. Maybe this is the first bit of cracks.
Well, that's it. We're all like, why is he no longer with Kate in the future?
Right, exactly. Why is he not wearing the wedding ring, right? Yeah. So, like,
we're trying to put this puzzle together. It's 1,000 pieces, guys.
Right. These are our hot takes, man. I mean, we're not official hot take level yet, but this is maybe this is the first cracks of it all. One of the things that I really liked about this episode, too, and at first when I heard it, I was disappointed because I was like, oh, man, you're going back to that well again. But then it made sense, which was the reappearance of the song Someday Soon at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? And did it bring you back to season one at all? Do you like the fact that they reused it?
I sit there and I'm like, oh God, I love this song. And it makes you just want to cry and just like love on all the Pearsons whatsoever. And I think what's great is that obviously Randall is currently the only father of the big three. And so it's really nice to be able to having those flashback moments of like seeing the Pearson family with Jack and with all of his kids and his like moments of of sheer dad geniusness. And then you get to see those same kind of like silly family bonding memories happen with Randall's family. And you get to see that this like circle of life carries on. So we fell in love with that song, having these precious moments in season one. And now it's still here. It's those threads, those traditions, those characteristics that you can pass down.
Right. It's fitting because, you know, when the song first appeared, it was in the pool, the first one, and it was at the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. And one of the big things that I remember from that episode was it started playing when Kevin shows up to Randall's house for the first time and he meets Randall's biological father. And it's like, whoa, okay, this is a big deal. You know, and I think it's fitting that, you know, at the time, Randall was dealing with his biological father and how to, like, figure that out and introduce him to his family and coming to the whole thing, dealing with himself as a black man raised in a white family in a predominantly white neighborhood. And in this episode, he is dealing with his adopted daughter and how to handle her and figure out what to do with her, who, you know, is bringing up this daughter in a family that isn't really hers. So it's like this kind of mirrored image.
Hers. It is her family.
Well, you know what I mean. It's not her biological family. You're 100% right.
Yeah.
But it's a mirroring image that I quite like. And the other thing that I really like too is that final image. You know, any great story is about change, and but it's how you deliver that story. Mm-hmm. And you can see that amazing change from when they're all cuddled up on Jack, you know, at the pool, and they're all there, all the kids.
Stop,
and
I'm going to cry. And you mean like the toddler version, the like 4-year-old version? Stop.
Yeah. And they're all nestled up into Rebecca, and they're all sleeping on each other. And then the final image of this particular episode is all of them in their own chairs.
I'm going to cry. I just see my kids, and I'm like, stop growing up.
There was that moment when Jack said, hey, you remember when we had our only problem was trying
the
to get
problem,
the biggest problem was to get the floaties on and what they were doing, and here they are, you know, dealing with all these other issues now.
Mm-hmm.
And then just having that wallop of a hammer with the toddler version of the big three and Jack with the beard and everything, like, oh my God, I haven't seen bearded Jack in so long. Like,
I know, there's just all shades of Jack in this episode.
I love big bearded Jack. You know, bearded Jack is one of my favorites. What did you think of M. Night Shyamalan? There he is, man. He's finally in the episode. And do you find it funny that they used him in the trailer so significantly? And like,
no.
And like,
because it was all like, who are these people? And then they throw in M. Night Shyamalan and you're like, oh, we're supposed to be confused.
Mm-hmm.
That's just their way of being like, yup. You know nothing, Jon Snow.
You know, I'm still confused as to Kevin's, like, how famous he is.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, he just like walks around and like nobody says anything to him. Like nobody,
where
like
you,
he was in a big
walking around that he's like, like, not a big deal.
He's not. He just doesn't feel like a big deal. Like, I feel like he. Like, I know that he has money, and that's fine.
Well, he's not in the Manny, so he's not on everyone's TV every
Right, but he was in
day.
That big Ron Howard movie where yeah. everyone thought that he was going to go up for an Oscar, and now he's doing movies with M. Night Shyamalan, you know, like...
Well, but you know, like, you know how people are just so self-absorbed nowadays, mm-hmm. they're not really paying attention. I mean, we could probably be walking by pretty serious actors and not know it.
Yep. That's true.
So,
that's true.
Especially guys. I feel like a lot of guys just kind of look the same. I mean, obviously, he does get stopped. It would be fun to see famous Kevin episode. You know, like when he went to the restaurant, he's like, oh, I know all these people and doing his big thing. You know, it would have been kind of cool if the woman who came to help, like the blind baby specialist, was mm-hmm. like, by the way, I'm a huge fan, you know. But then it would have just been unnecessary for the story. But I get what you're saying, like his fame we're not seeing. But on the flip side, when you're famous, you're still just you, and that's what Kevin was saying. Like, the cameras go off and I just go back to being me, and we get to see him just being Kevin with his family.
Mm-hmm. Is it me, or are you struggling still with the Randall storyline? And now that they've made this move, like, I just, one of the girls that works for me at one of the donut shops was talking to me about This Is Us, and she just watched the episode, and she's like, I just don't care about what's happening with Randall.
Well, you know, it's a big change. Randall was incredibly pivotal
yes.
for us. So we're used to caring immensely for Randall. We're used to worrying about when does the truth come out about Rebecca lying to him and about his birth father and then his birth father dying and them going to Memphis and then him, you know, going running for politics. I'm okay with Randall taking a little bit of a backseat. I'm really okay with exploring a bit more of other people. I'm interested to see which way it goes, because they do often have like big time focuses at a time, and maybe it is Kevin's time right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I agree, I care less, but I'm happy that Randall and Beth and the kids seem to be in a really good place. I hated when they were at, you know, opposite sides. It was very, very hard for us, and so I'm okay with that. I'm okay that they're like living their best life,
yeah.
rocking in Philly, eating cheese steaks, because there's a lot of other things going on that we need to digest. I agree. He's not at the forefront of my thoughts, but I'm okay with that.
Are you buying this whole thing with Beth and the haircut and how she was made it a bigger deal than, like?
No, she didn't make it a bigger deal. That's the thing.
Okay.
That's the thing.
Did what
you see
mean?
The last shots of everybody like reflecting?
Yes.
And she puts a hat on.
Right. But it was more along the lines of like they were playing like the worst case scenario. And I feel like that was part and parcel due to how they don't know how to handle what's happening with Tess. And.
But that's on the flip side, like, mama knows best. Like, I can't sing it right now because I'm like, oh.
Listen to your mumsy.
Yeah. Like, Beth knew deep down her heart that this was going to be a big change for Tess. And
sure.
How many of us, myself included, have gone through drastic things with our looks, especially in regards to hair that does not grow back overnight, and you're like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And then you come home and you're like, what did I just do? Okay? It just happened to me this year, guys. Okay?
Mary came home looking...
With a pixie.
If there was a scale of...
I had like...
Hugh Grant to like Idina Menzel, she was more on the Hugh Grant
side. I had like 12-year-old Kevin's haircut.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I came home
pretty
and
much.
I was like, hi, this is different. I don't know how I feel about this. And Blake was like, well, I know how I feel about it, but I'm going to be quiet because if I have nothing nice to say, then I'll say nothing at all. So that was what was interesting, is that, you know, Beth was projecting her like fear of big change, which they've gone through a lot of. And also now they're really trying to be, you know, careful and considerate of Tess.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just looking out for Tess and saying, maybe I didn't know best. I'm sorry. And then what do you know? Tess is looking at herself at the very end in that mirror, looking very insecure, puts on a hat.
Sure, right. So did you take it as though she was insecure about her hair?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, did you not? Were you like, oh,
no.
She's finding a new way to style it?
I thought it was more like an affirmation of that's who she is. Like, okay, Like, this is me.
Well, I am so glad you're saying this because I'm probably completely wrong because everyone else was happy at the end.
Yeah.
It was like, Deja's looking at her phone. Everybody's happy. And I'm like, why is Tess embarrassed by her haircut? It looks great. But you're right. That was probably my own projections of not liking my short haircut.
Sure. Sure. I totally get it. I want to switch a little bit back to Kate a tad only because something that struck me, and I can't wait to get your thoughts on it, was that she felt that it was her fault that baby Jack is blind. Like, she tries to say that, and she's like, no, this is my fault. All these people told me I shouldn't have gotten pregnant, yada, yada. Did you ever feel like some of our kids...
Every day.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. Every day.
In what way? Like, what do you mean?
You know, you can't micromanage how you act all the time. Every word you say, every vitamin you took or didn't take, every choice that you made. Like, you know, when our child did have colic, I was overanalyzing, should I be having dairy? Should I be having broccoli? Should I be having this? Is it because I don't know what's going on? Like, am I doing something wrong? Especially as a mother, I have found that every single thing that is potentially difficult for my children, I think it's my fault. Now, for those of you who don't know, I do battle anxiety. Worry may be like my pretend middle name. But it's hard not to. It's hard not to sit there and say, had I done something differently, maybe this outcome would not be this way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for Kate to say, like, everyone warned me that there might be complications of having a pregnancy. And, you know, all of these things, like, he was premature and they had warned me about this. And one of the things that happens when they're premature is they can have blindness. Like, they told me all of this and I still did it anyway because in my heart, I still wanted to be a mom.
Sure. She said something to Kevin that really sticks out with me too, is I just wish you had the same compassion for yourself as you do others.
Ugh.
And you know, I don't know why I connect with Kevin so much. I just do. And that kid, when he's a kid and he says, why do I do so many bad things after, you know, hurting Randall and making fun of him and making him feel less than, and, you know, I find myself asking myself the same questions too. Like, why do I do?
I find myself asking that question of you too.
I know. Like, why do you keep doing stupid stuff? Like, why are you such a bad person?
For those of you who don't know, our kids will tell Blake, stop acting like a Slytherin.
You're a wizard, Harry.
That's 100%
true. Be more like Mama. Be a Gryffindor. Our children, who are 4 and 6, say this to Blake.
Yes, and that there is zero hyperbole in that statement.
Yeah.
That is all 100% true.
Yeah.
So I get what it's like when you want to do the right thing, but you find yourself saying the wrong thing, or you find yourself doing stupid stuff. And man, it just gets me. I understand it. Anything else that you want to say about this episode?
Kate.
What about her?
Kate finally opening up. You know, she was holding it together and she was trying so hard. And I think that that's something that at least myself as a mother, I try to do. You know, you get everything on your shoulders and your needs come last.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just when she was finally able to open up, especially to Kevin. Like, there are these moments when you really love the Kate-Kevin connection. It's really so special. I mean, for him to say he might not want to take on a movie because he wants to stay with his nephew.
Sure.
You know, for Kate to actually, you know, for him to say, like, are you okay? Everyone's asked her this.
Sure.
You know, but she actually feels comfortable opening up to Kevin, I think is beautiful.
Yep.
I loved everyone having to, like, go through and see what's baby proof, because you have to do that anyway with a baby. You need to crawl around and see what's covered. So that was really just, I don't know, just a little flashback.
When she's like, you know, we've done everything here to limit my child, and he's not going to have limits. All I could think of was you.
What?
It's like,
oh my
that's
God.
Absolutely something
that's
that you
would
do.
That's when I was crying. I was like, yes,
yes.
Preach, preach.
It's like that girl, the gif of the girl, just hands up,
amen.
Preach.
Oh my God, that's so me. That is so me. This is us, man. Like, this is it. This is what is so beautiful about this show, is you are able to pull each of these things. And how cool was that with Rebecca? You can see, once again, being so overly concerned about Kate.
Yep. Taking the notes,
and
doing
Kate's
all the stuff.
First kiss.
What? Oh my goodness,
Kate,
gracious!
Doing leaning in,
hey girl. You know, making taking lemons and making it lemonade.
She's like, you'll do. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You got zits
the
everywhere.
Fact that he
whatever.
Said that he was there for her.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. I just wanted to scoop him up. yes.
And just nuzzle.
And
him.
I love how Rebecca's like, "How are your friends?" And Kate's like, "Fine, everything's good."
Mm-hmm.
Rather than be like, "I'll tell you about it."
Yeah.
You know, and that Kevin doesn't already know. How does Kevin, who's like the coolest kid in the class, not know that his sister just had her first kiss?
Well, you know, he's busy making fun of Randall a little too much.
Jerk face.
He was being a little bit of a jerk face, but I sympathize. I empathize for the jerk face. I do.
So what do? Like, this is, we had our first issue with our son who was making fun of another child's name. Mind you, our son has a difficult name and gets made fun of for his name. I'm like, Kate, I should have known better. Should have named him Reese. That looks like rice. So I couldn't have just spelled it the regular way, Reese. And everyone calls him Reese or Reese's Pieces or Rice or
Rahees.
Didn't make it easy on this kid. Nonetheless, had his first little thing where he like made fun of a kid's name. That kid pushed him, and we were like, oh, how do we deal with this? Like, you're an individual who did something not very kind. Obviously, you were taught a lesson that wasn't the right way for that child to handle it, but it's because you did this. And when Kevin was saying, like, am I a bad boy? I saw our little son being like, oh, like, I'm not supposed to do these things. I'm not supposed to pick on somebody.
Right.
And for the most part, I want you guys to know, our son is amazing and adorable
and
sweet and fantastic.
Great kid.
This is how kids learn.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's these aspects of this episode where it's like, we've all done this. We've all been Kevin for a hot second where we tried it out. We tried the kind of meanie route. Now, granted, sadly, Kevin kept it up for a long time.
I just need to get something out of the way, and I need to say it.
Okay.
I want Milo Ventimiglia to be my dad. I just want him to be my dad. Can I just be adopted by him? Because, like, when he does his Jack thing... Like when he comes up and he's looking at young like boy Kevin and he's like, listen, buddy, you're just another notch in a long line of Pearson men who've got issues. And the way to fix it is you find somebody you care about and you tell them, I care about you. And you live for that. Like,
I want him to be like the guy that lives behind us because nobody lives behind us and it really freaks me out. There's like this empty house. I want him to be my neighbor. And I want to just go over and I'll be like, I will make stew because that's like, I know how to make that. At least you can't really mess stew up. And I just want him to like absorb. Mind you, it's not really him. It's Jack Pearson. I just want Jack Pearson to be my neighbor to like absorb it into Blake and I to give us hope.
He just has this delivery about it. He just has this thing like where he feels like an adult. And even though you know he's not, like, you know Jack is damaged. Jack has got a lot of stuff going on. But the love.
Do you feel like that? Like, you sit here and you're like, I don't feel like I'm really an adult.
No, you know, somebody who said this? I can't remember who said it, but it was, you know, we're all children wearing adult clothing.
It's so true, man. I don't know what the heck I'm doing.
No, we don't. Like, I really don't. Like, I try my best, and I try to go and do the things and do all the things that I need to do. But I just feel like I'm like that cat that's hanging from the tree that says, hang in there. That's me. Constantly. Just constantly. I feel like I can't help it. But yeah, no, I desperately want Jack Pearson to just be my dad and just have that reassurance.
Right?
Reassurance from a guy who you feel like knows what he's talking
mm-hmm,
about.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else about this episode that you got?
Well, we got Rebecca, we got Randall, we got Kate, we got Kevin, we got
Jack,
everybody.
We got Kate's
we got
first kiss, we got Toby in there. You talked about your boy Miguel. 12 days.
So excited for the holiday season, which begins now.
Can you believe that when they move to California, the first thing they do is subscribe to the Hollywood Reporter so they can keep up to date with all the happenings?
I believe it.
Oh my God, that would be a Miguel thing to do.
That would be
a Miguel thing. Anything else you got for this episode?
Do you
episode?
Think they meant kept up the happenings for Kevin in particular?
Oh yeah, probably.
But
it would also be one of those things where I feel like he misinterpreted what the Hollywood Reporter means. Instead of it being like an entertainment magazine, like he really thinks it's like the local paper.
Oh my God.
Oh man.
Oh, I love it.
Wouldn't that be funny? All right, is that it? All
That's
you
it.
Got?
All done.
All right,
done.
Let's do some in and out.
Okay.
What's it gonna be, McFly? Are you in or out?
All right, first one has to be your boy Miguel singing 12 Days of Christmas. Are you in or out?
Oh, sign me up,
oh,
Santa.
My God.
I know him.
That was awesome.
Oh.
When I saw that, I thought immediately that that was just going to be the only good, bad, great. It would be the whole thing for you.
Guys, I love Christmas so much that I go to this like Latin Christmas singing thing. It's all done in Latin.
Oh,
and the
God.
Highlight is singing the 12 Days of Christmas in Latin.
Oh, you're such a dork. It is really pretty. It is, I will admit. It's all candlelit and the
whole
thing.
You hate until you join my world.
That's true. That's 100% true. All right, in or out on Philly cheesesteaks?
I am lactose intolerant, and I will gladly spend 2 hours in the bathroom after eating one.
Oh, I don't know. The cheese whiz and the whole thing with the onions and the
peppers.
You
like it when it's on nachos.
Yeah, but it's different. It's different on steak. It's different on steak.
It goes down smoother.
It comes out smoother.
Stop.
All right. In or out, riding on public buses.
Okay. So for those who don't know, I grew up very poor. Unlike my husband, who had a very different lifestyle.
You were Poe.
I was Poe.
Blake, you couldn't even afford the OR.
Blake was like chilling in his Jeep, and I'm scraping like quarters that I find off the ground so I can take the public bus. So I've taken the public bus many a time to and from, especially like when I was in college. And let me tell you, taking a bus to and from a college campus, not always great. Not always great. So, I mean, it's fine, but there's a lot of weird people, man.
Yeah, I'm out.
And I'm
way out.
I don't know why people talk to me. I talk to people, but like I try sometimes not to talk to people, and like weird people find me. I'm a weird people magnet.
Hey, lady, want a sex?
No joke, guys. This is my life. So, yeah.
Quickly, in or out on Deja being a little bit creepy. Little creepy taking pictures of kids, sending it to them, being like, hey, nice shirt.
Who does that sound like, though? Me!
Shame.
My poor next door neighbor. She'll like do something like add a flower, and I'll be like, nice flower. And you know it's true. You know it's true.
Oh,
that's
my
me.
God.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh.
Whatevs, man. No shame in my game.
You are
I like to think of it more as that I'm very observant.
Oh,
and I would
God.
Like to let someone know that I'm thinking of them.
Oh, my God. No.
I need a filter.
No.
I need a Blake filter so that he could say, you probably don't want to send that text.
Yeah. You probably... No, you know
nice,
what you need me to do?
Nice shirt.
You need this.
No! God, please, no!
That,
no!
That's what you need.
Yep.
No!
I don't have that in my life.
No!
Like, I live with him, but generally.
All right, in or out, M. Night Shyamalan as a director.
Yeah.
I think I'm out.
Well, whatever,
He's had so many bad movies.
Listen, I fell for all of them. I fell for The Sixth Sense. I was like, what the? No way!
I agree.
And then what was that one? The Village? Fell for that. What?
Unbreakable. Unbreakable was good.
Yes!
But I feel like after Unbreakable, he's gone downhill.
But listen, like you can't blame him for having some bad ones. If he has some good ones, you can't be like, okay, he stinks.
What was the one with Mark Wahlberg and the wind was killing people?
Oh my
the trees
God.
Were killing people?
Wasn't it called The Mist?
No, that wasn't The Mist.
Or is that Stephen King?
That's Stephen King.
The trees were killing people, or was it the one where people were killing themselves because there was a disease?
Yeah, that was it. The trees would pull...
That one? Oh, my God. And then people would lay down in front of lawnmowers?
Right.
Oh, M. Night, what are you doing? Yeah, I'm all... M. Night's Shyamalan, I just can't. Like, I'll watch it, but I know I'm going to be all sorts of freaked out. Now I'm going to have nightmares. That was, like, a very traumatizing movie.
I liked the joke that he's like the I see dead people thing, and the fact that he was like acknowledging it, being like, yeah, okay, I've heard that joke many times now, okay, relax.
Yeah.
that was good. In or out, taking care of plants, Kevin with his ficus, would you? And
yeah.
How he only had a relationship with the ficus.
Yeah.
Are you in or out on taking care of plants?
I'm
way out.
Of course,
way
you
out.
Would be.
I'm so far out. I don't even want plants in my neighborhood.
But you don't like to care about anything.
No, I care about stuff.
Well, you care about me because you have to.
I don't have to. I choose to.
Yeah, but like, if you didn't have me, and you didn't have the kids,
I'd care about my motorcycle.
No, you don't. It's sat outside our for the past 2 months.
It's covered.
No, it's not.
Yes, all the indispensable parts of the bike are covered.
Just a little piece of it. Birds have shat on it for.
I washed it. I cleaned it. All right, in or out?
I've sworn now twice. I feel so bad.
In or out? Hipster hats like the one that Tess puts on at the end of the episode.
In.
I'm way out. It doesn't even serve the purpose of a hat.
You don't even know what fashion is.
I know what fashion is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't even serve the purpose. It's on the back. It rests on the back. It's like a cardinal pope version of.
Listen, when you have short hair, you have limited hat choices. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Speaking of hats, are you in or out on Rebecca's hat game?
Always.
Oh.
She must have a closet just of hats. You know how people have that of shoes? Mm-hmm. Rebecca Pearson has a hat closet, in my opinion.
I saw you salivating after that white hat, and I was like, oh my God.
The problem is I have a big head, and I want a hat like that. I want a hat like that when I go on vacation, and it just sits on the top of me like a little Lego hat on top of a normal-sized doll. Doesn't
Lego
fit.
Lego hat.
You know what I'm talking about? You're welcome for that visual.
All right. Lastly, in or out on being okay if your kids think that you're a dork.
Listen, I've been made fun of as being a dork since probably I was 8. Welcome to the party.
Yeah.
And
you ain't tell me anything new, kid.
No, and you're gonna be thankful for it because you want to know what things that I say show up in Jeopardy. You're welcome. Speaking of which,
what?
Ruminants.
Oh, ruminants. It did show up in Jeopardy. We had one of our listeners talk about
it. Like happened the day after the podcast episode came out. It was like, what are the so animals called that like chew their meal a second time because of their stomach situation. You're welcome. Ruminants. We didn't do anybody else's big three.
We didn't do the big three today just because we were in a rush and
Sorry,
I was
guys.
In a rush. Sorry, guys. We'll do that next week.
I was on TV, though, so if you want to search it, I'll show you a picture.
All right. Get any hot takes? Yeah. All right. You got a hot take. Hold on.
Wait. It's not a hot take. It's more of a question.
Okay.
I don't understand. Is Kevin doing the movie or not doing the movie?
No. I think it's more that he's not doing the movie because he went to go take care of Nikki.
Yeah. Like, I didn't know if he was like, yeah, I'll do the movie, but first I'm going to go take care of Nikki.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible that he's going to, but I just don't think. Like, he shows up and gives him the ficus, which is great. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But they don't make it clear as to whether or not.
I like, watch my plant. I'm going to go be famous.
No, because he could take the plant with him.
Oh, yeah. You're right. That's where he was keeping
it. Yeah, you don't need a plant sitter.
This helped me. Now it can help you.
Yeah, I think that obviously is
Sisterhood of the
one.
Traveling Pants.
But remember, Jack great says book. You have to tell people, you have to tell people that you care about them and you have to take care of them. So that leads me to believe. You know, it's a little bit of sleight of hand, you know, obviously, where you think that Kevin's going to go do the movie. But instead of actually taking care of himself like he's always done and like focusing on himself.
Where's he going to sleep?
Like he's been in this circle of like, okay, sobriety, taking care of myself, making movies, falling back into it, being alcoholic, yada, yada. And then it's just this continuous circle. Now he finally has to break the wheel and take care of somebody else.
Okay.
So I think that's what's going to happen.
Not. Okay. So in regards to a hot take.
See, it's hard to have a hot take on this episode.
I don't have one. I just finished turning all the puzzle pieces over, okay?
Yep, that's true.
I just found a corner.
You know, part of me thinks that this is the beginning of the end for Toby and Kate. I think having a blind child is what's going to set them apart. Somehow. I don't know. It just
I don't know
feels
if it's the child. I think it might be more of how they handle.
Well, yeah, that's what
stress.
I mean. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like the blind child leads to stress and how they handle that stress. You can already see what's happening. Toby's going off doing his own thing and I just doesn't feel right.
Well, and I think one thing that might be hard is that, as we know, Jack becomes like this music superstar.
Sure.
And so he's going to have that connection with Kate.
Yes.
And I wonder what, you know, like Toby's into nerdy movies. Like, right. what will Toby bond with Jack if they do that phase of life where, say, Jack is 6, 10, if we see a young version of Jack, like, what will he and Toby have together?
Here's a hot take for you. Kevin meets the army lady. God, I can't remember her name now.
I'm just going to call her. What is it? Emma.
Emma. We're going to call her Emma Swan. He meets Emma Swan, and I feel like it's one of those things where...
Which is not her name at all.
No, it's not her name at all. Isn't it Carissa? I forget now. I forget what it is. Anyway, I feel like he kind of meets her and they hit it off immediately. They both see each other as damaged.
Hasn't everyone been saying that for a couple weeks now, Blake?
No, I know, but like it's like when they see each other, it's one of those things where it's like, yes, okay, this is...
Oh, like time's going to stand still. It's going to be like that movie, kind of like phew, the wind's going to blow through her hair and they're both going to go,
yeah, I kind of feel like that's what's going to happen.
Yes.
Because he's taking this advice to heart that go take care of somebody else.
Perfect.
And Nikki is the lead in to that. So that is that.
I'd be down.
Anything else? Any other hot takes you got?
If he does, I want him to be so romantic, Jack Pearson style.
Yeah.
Hey, did you...
What are you doing?
Oh, God, that was not what I wanted to do.
Not at all.
That was not what I wanted to do. Sorry. Hold on 1 second. I messed that up. Yeah, I hit the wrong button for... for the computer. I apologize.
You're welcome.
But it's time to close this bad boy. Are you ready?
Yes. Oh, love.
This is one of my favorite songs from This Is Us.
It's so good.
It's so good. It's so great because like it's that thing that's the control. Like, this stays the same, but the Pearsons change.
Yes, yes.
And I just think that's so remarkable.
I have a hard time watching some episodes of This Is Us.
Is this one of those episodes you had a hard time with?
At the very end, with the kids aging and then de-aging.
Yeah.
Can't. Time goes by too quickly.
I think we're just in that moment where we're in it right now. And it's hard for us, because we got the two kids, and we got the whole thing, and life is happening.
Yeah, but I want them to stay little kids, man.
Yeah, it's
true. I've seen that little four-year-old shot, and I'm like, we have a four-year-old now.
Yeah.
And unless something changes, like, this is my last chance with a four-year-old.
Sure.
And then they're going to be out kissing people, fighting, just sitting in their own seats. I can't take it. Where's the Charmin?
All the Charmin.
Oh,
by the way, go to the Mary and Blake store. Buy the All the Charmin shirt that you can do. As always, want to thank you guys for all the reviews and everything, subscribing to the podcast and engaging with us. Once again, we are sorry that we were able to do the big three feedback today. We will do that for the next episode.
We promise.
I promise, and we promise that we will get it out on time. As always, go to maryandblake.com to check out all of the podcasts that we have there, including Outlander cast and the soon-to-be Watchmen cast with Watchmen with Mary and Blake, and Rise Up, the Hamilton podcast, the North Remembers, the one about Game of Thrones. There's
so many things,
podcasts,
guys.
And blogs for days. We do have
some
a life.
Days.
Sometimes. Occasionally.
All right, my friends. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name's Mary.
My name's Blake.
I'm going to go get some Charmin and, like, so look at my baby photos. This is us, too.
Peel up her face another day. I hope the kindness comes your way. It's for you I pray.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.